Religion on the Line, 2 hours of exploration into the world of spirituality. Whether it's the basics of faith or the hot-button issues of the day, talk about it now, 576-7710. And now, Religion on the Line.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio, 710 on your AM radio dial. This is the time, this is the place, 103.7 on your FM radio dial, all over the place. Here we are, and we're ready to take your phone calls. Please pick up the phone and dial 576-7710. Touch in those numbers and give us a call. If you're calling long distance, put a 816 in front of that. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon John Perk with the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda. Can we go back for a second? Do we have time to go back for a second to John's comment about 7-8 minute sermons?
Yeah.
John, is it possible that that derives from how much has to be done in approximately an hour's time for the Mass?
Probably, because the Mass is usually, in a large gathering, it'll take, usually there's 400 or 500 people, so it will take anywhere from 45 to 60 minutes for the whole Mass to take place, because people are...
Wondering, in effect, to mix things boldly, if form follows function, you've only got a certain amount of time. Although the other side of that coin is, and I know I'm confident Bob would agree, is the really remarkable challenge is a short sermon takes a great deal more time than a long sermon if one is serious about the communication.
You know, I will tell you this, if Bebo were to call in today, I think he'd verify this and affirm this. Our Good Friday services, the Seven Last Words of Christ with Haydn's great music, is one of the most difficult things to prepare that I know of, because it's 3.5 minutes max, and you have to be succinct, brilliant, compelling, moving, inspirational, and short. you just have to, that's the hardest thing to do. I would agree, Michael. I would agree. Michael, we were talking earlier offline. How old is the Afikoman tradition in Passover ceremonies that I've seen, where the youngest is looking for the hidden bread?
Interestingly, it's probably at least 2,100 to 2,200 years old.
I was wrong. Wow.
What did you guess?
I didn't think it was that old. I thought it did not predate New Testament times. Would that have been part of the ritual?
It almost certainly predates New Testament times, but not necessarily the tradition of the child stealing or finding, because the service cannot continue to its conclusion until we have that last event, the Afikoman. But so you're probably right in terms of it being relatively modern. But the notion of the Afikoman is at minimum more than 2,000 years old, because when the sages, or as to use the term of a previous caller, when the Pharisees instituted the Seder order, which is what the word means, as we now have it, in almost incomplete adaptation with accretions over the years, they included a phrase that one may not, after the meal, say, and now the... to the Afikomenos, or something. It's a Greek word. It's not a Hebrew word. And Afikomen is understood to be a contraction of a Greek phrase that means now to the entertainment. And to the entertainment, for when they were modeling or thinking of a Greek or Roman banquet, was to the orgy, or the orgy as it's more appropriately pronounced. And they turned that upside down. Here you have this meal of abundance with symbols of poverty scattered throughout it, which is an interesting juxtaposition. But the last taste is meant to be unadorned, tasteless, like sand, matzah. So the last thing you remember is that there's still justice that needs to be done in the world.
Okay.
That's the origin of the afikoman, as opposed to the custom of it can't go forward until the child finds it.
Okay, finding it dates back to exactly when again?
That I don't know. Finding it, I have no idea, Bob.
It's okay. I
grew up with it, and I've never seen anybody do when did this start?
Okay.
Because there are two traditions. One tradition is that the children tried to steal it from the leader of the service during the service. And the other is that it's hidden by the leader to be found at the conclusion of the meal so that the service can then conclude.
Okay.
Now, Michael, let's explain. We've been talking about something that the three of us know about, but I don't think most of our listeners know anything about what we're talking about, unless
that
they're Jewish.
Trying hard.
Yeah, so the early in the Seder meal, the leader, which is usually the father, lifts up three pieces of matzah bread, right? He removes.
Well, no, there are three pieces in addition to lots of matzah on the table. There are three pieces that are ceremonially used, but the middle piece will be taken and broken, and then part of it will be distributed to be eaten as to make the blessing, and the other part will be hidden or wrapped and left in some vulnerable position where children will try. Clearly, it's an effort to try to keep the kids' attention, because most of the times you sit down, you eat, as opposed to here you sit down and you engage in a liturgical experience, a storytelling.
Uh-huh. Well, that broken piece is called the
afikoman.
Afikoman.
By extension, yes.
Yes. Okay, and then it's hidden, and then the youngest finds it. Now,
well, not necessarily the youngest. The children go look for it.
Yeah. Okay, now, I made this parallel. You tell me if I am in error or if it's plausible.
Tell me.
But I find it so amazing that John, the youngest, went to the tomb to find the second person of the Blessed Trinity who's wrapped in the cloth, but he's not there, and he waits for the eldest, Peter, to arrive and then go in.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like a completion of what takes place at the Passover meal, where the youngest has to go get the afikoman.
Mm-hmm.
Yes or no?
Well, the only difference would be that the youngest doesn't have to go. It is the children. So, for example, the youngest child at our Seder this past year was 25 years old. The oldest child was meant to be of that same generation, as opposed to we so-called adults. And we had a 30-year-old searching for it. And as it happened, the youngest did not find it. The second youngest found it. So there's a search party that goes out and to get the reward for making it possible for the service to conclude.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, why don't we go to some callers, eh? All right.
If we have them, we should go to them.
Richard, you've got religion on the line.
Good morning, gentlemen. Over in Europe on Facebook, they have as a sign of solidarity between the Christians, as a sign of solidarity for the persecution of the modern-day Jew, the Christians are posting on Facebook one day of wearing either Jewish jewelry or a yarmulke, and just so they experience what it's like to be a Jew, and just showing solidarity for the persecuted Jews around the world. It started over in Europe, now it's made its way to the United States, and I'm just wondering, where can I find the little hat to borrow for a day, or do they sell inexpensive ones?
You don't even have to buy one. If you go to a synagogue, or you go to are you in Kansas City?
Yes.
If you go to Lewis Memorial Chapel, they have always very simple kippot, which is the Hebrew, or yarmulke, which is the Yiddish, skullcap is the English, that I'm sure they'd be more than willing to allow you to have one.
Awesome.
Michael, I have one.
You don't have to buy one. Buying one would involve going to a gift shop of some kind, and they're very lovely, fancy ones.
But they'd be
too
expensive for this purpose, and they'd be lovely, and you can get some. And by the way, if you'd like to borrow one of mine, I would be glad. I'm serious. I've been gifted with several of them, and if you would like to borrow one of mine, you'd be most welcome.
Awesome.
Now, what day, awesome. What day, Richard? Richard, what day is Facebook recommending this?
I believe it's just any time, every day, any time. It's just they're asking just to show your solidarity, just where any day, and I don't even think it's for the whole day. It may just be 15 minutes walking around in a major city, downtown Kansas City.
Well, make sure it's not a windy day if it's one of the ones that I'm suggesting you get. They won't stay on your head very long.
Yeah, and if you, okay. By the way, if you're follically challenged, you're going to need a bobby pin.
Okay.
To hold it on someplace.
To use the bobby pin.
I'm sorry, what was the name of that temple again?
Lewis Memorial Chapel is the principally the Jewish funeral home for the greater Kansas City area. You should probably call first to make sure they're open.
Yes.
816-361-5211. I'm almost, it's been so long since I dialed that. 816-5. I'll check the number and give it to you later on the air.
And Richard, it's on Troost Avenue in Kansas City, Missouri.
Right. Excellent. Right. Okay. Excellent. I know exactly what you're talking about. Okay, thank you, gentlemen. Thank you very much. How about you guys?
Okay, you bet. And we're going to go to, we got to have a break right now. We're going to be right back after these messages.
The Maintenance Shop. Honest auto repairs done right the first time. TMSauto.com.
Markets don't always go up. Unfortunately, people have portfolios that can only go up in value if the stock market goes up. My name is Chris Butler, investment manager and host of the radio show Capitalist Pigs, heard Saturdays on KCMO. Most people that have been working for a number of years know that the economy cycles through periods of boom and bust. So why wouldn't the markets, of which that economy is comprised, also exhibit periods of up moves and down moves? Of course they would, and they have, for as long as we have history. Investors actually have tools at their disposal that can either help protect their portfolios in a falling market or maybe even make money in that environment. But too few investors know what these tools are or how to use them. Incorporating those tools is just one element of what we call the all-weather approach to growth investing. You can learn more about that approach by downloading our free report at investontrack.com. Again, download the report at investontrack.com.
Does God really exist? Atheism says the answer is no. Yet millions around the world deeply believe that God is real and all-powerful. And many people say they can point to evidence of his love in their lives. Evidence they feel is far more than wishful thinking or random good fortune. They'll talk about the existence and nature of God on the next radio edition of the Christian Science Sentinel, Sunday morning at 8:30. On KCMO Talk Radio 710.
Do you own a Ford Powerstroke, GM Duramax, or Cummins diesel engine? Then you know these quality engines can test the budget when it comes to service and repairs. Hello again, Kevin Jordan, Interstate 49 Truck Center. And we've saved lots of folks lots of money fixing these engines. So don't sign that repair ticket till you give us a call. Interstate 49 Truck Center is located in sunny Grandview, just south of Gale's Harley-Davidson on the new Interstate 49 or the old 71 highway. Call 816-322-2333, and we'll see you on the garage floor.
Drive luxury now at the all-new Volvo of Overland Park. Receive $6,000 minimum for your trade this month only at Volvo of Overland Park. That's $6,000 minimum for your trade, no matter what the condition. You heard right. Receive $6,000 minimum trade allowance this month only. Where else can you make your luxury car dream a reality? Drive luxury now only at the all-new Volvo of Overland Park, located at 7801 Metcalf or online at volvoofop.com.
Trade allowance available when purchasing a new Volvo. No two offers can be combined. Offer expires 4/30/2015. See dealer for details.
One of the things I love about our friends over at Window World is their exceptional value. Dave Ramsey here. Folks, if you're in the market for windows or doors, you need to call Window World of Kansas City. In just over 10 years in business, Window World has improved the look and efficiency of over 28,000 homes in Kansas City. Window World is the home of the original $189 window. And these $189 windows are amazing. They come with double-strength glass, a lifetime warranty, and the Good Housekeeping seal of approval. Plus, Window World is committed to serving my listeners well. So give Window World a call today for a free in-home estimate. 816-799-0820. That's 816-799-0820 or windowworld.com. Window World, simply the best for less. Be sure and tell them Dave Ramsey.
Visit the UPS store for all of your copying, binding, and laminating needs. April is Customer Appreciation Month. Black and white copies are 4 cents. Color prints are 29 cents at participating locations. For a locally owned and operated store near you, visit the UPSstore.com.
Attention Kansas City business owners. When was the last time you updated your website? Check out DigitalLagoon.com, a locally owned and operated company working with Fortune 100 companies that can help you redesign your website, increase sales, and build the right SEO strategy. Check out DigitalLagoon.com now for a special offer for KCMO listeners.
What are these people thinking? How do you get like this?
The Greg Neff Experience. Weekday afternoons 4 till 6 on KCMO Talk Radio.
Good morning. You've got religion on the line here at KCMO Radio 710 on your AM radio dial. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon John Perk with St. Michael the Archangel High School, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
710 AM, 103.7 FM. We are here, and we take your calls at 576-7710. Michael, just to repeat, we have a lot of topics from you, my friend. The extraordinary parallel of the effectiveness of seven in terms of small group leadership and its parallel in all things religious. How shall we deal with Tsarnaev's guilt in terms of the punishment to be meted out in the wake of the Boston tragedy? RFRA laws, both in Indiana and Arkansas and elsewhere. We won't mention how we're going to be celebrating you at the airport as you get on the plane with the Cardinals to go to Capernaum, but we can do that. Walter Scott's death in South Carolina, tragedy of great, great tragedy. Unleavened bread, John has been talking about that, and also about the length of homilies. I mentioned that the fact that the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, led by our general minister and president, the Reverend Sharon Watkins, are in town. All the members of the general board are in town this weekend. And that's headed up by Glenn Miles, who is the moderator of our denomination for this two-year, this biennium. And then Gardner C. Taylor's passing last Sunday and his forthcoming memorial, his funeral tomorrow in Brooklyn. Gardner C. Taylor of legendary pulpit fame. We've been talking about a lot of other things, but we're going to go to Mike now. Mike, you've got religion on the line. Good morning.
Good morning. On the Religious Freedom Act, basically what it said was, before the state would interfere with someone's religious belief or freedom of conscience, they'd have to have a compelling reason to do so, that person would have the right to due process to challenge it in court. Had nothing about discrimination. It had to do with religious freedom. And so it's another false narrative like Ferguson to get people upset.
Actually, didn't it also define businesses as persons?
Well, the Supreme Court already did
no,
that.
No, this law, what didn't that law define with regard to protecting a religious...
Yes, I know what you're saying, and the Supreme Court already had done that. Yes, they did. The
Supreme Court did it with regard to religious institutions?
Hobby Lobby.
Okay.
Businesses are entitled to their religious beliefs.
Right, okay.
So it had already been done. So there was nothing new. Now, people have been... You know, when they talk about discrimination, we had a case in Washington with a florist. New Mexico and Arizona, baker and a photographer. In every case, these people were known to serve homosexuals. In fact, the florist had a steady customer in Washington, state of Washington, that But when it came to the wedding, it was discrimination against an event, not a person, because they always did business with a person knowing that they were gay. And so basically what people are doing, they're using pressure and economic pressure to browbeat them and not only serving, but to accept the same-sex marriage. It reminds me a little bit of the fugitive slave laws. Now, before you get upset, I'm going to explain why. Not by the severity, but you had people that had a religious objection to it, having to return or not help fugitive slaves when they didn't believe in slavery, and often for religious reasons. The Supreme Court, respecting the religious belief in the First Amendment, had to make a decision that slaves were property to get it out of the, so that they weren't going against their religious beliefs, but they had an obligation to return property and not help in the taking away of property. And so in that case, they were forcing people to participate in the slavery, even though it was against their religious beliefs. Now, this is not that severe, but it's the same principle behind it. We're going to browbeat you and even threaten to destroy your economic life unless you go along with what we believe.
And it'll eventually, I believe, Mike, it'll go to denying tax deductions for nonprofits that refuse to accept a redefinition of marriage.
Well, certainly there are people who would like to see that.
What about restaurants in 1963 that did not want to abide by new civil rights legislation?
We've talked about this. I said, you know, there's nothing you have to do to a drinking fountain or a restaurant to make it accommodate blacks. You don't have to redefine what it is. You don't have to redesign it, change its function. The objection was external to the event.
No, but I mean, what about the right of the people who had restaurants out of their strong religious convictions that they should not commingle blacks and white? What about that event? I mean, did they have a right?
I answer that very easy. They'd have to go show where that religious belief came from to justify due process. And it'd be awfully hard for them to do that if they went to the Bible. Somebody would go to Paul and say, there's no difference between slave and free.
Well,
except we do know the Bible was used for such justification.
Now, wait a minute. I've discussed this before.
Are you familiar at all with the Utah Compromise that seems to be getting at least not enough attention on this question, Mike? Where the Mormon community and those who have a view that is aligned with what the so-called gay community, gay agenda, whatever you want to call it, seem to have found a modus vivendi for all to somehow manage on this matter, as opposed to engage in rhetorical wars.
Let me ask you a question about the Bible being used. The reason it was
now, I asked you a different question.
You want to bother with that one or not? You said, what about? I'd like to answer it.
Are you familiar with the Utah Compromise, which didn't get nearly as much attention as the controversies in Arkansas and Indiana, in which the Mormon Church and leaders of the gay rights seem to have found a way to move forward together on both religious responsibility and consciousness and non-discrimination. Are you familiar with it?
No, I'm not.
Okay, I think we should study that, and then maybe we can have a different kind of conversation
as
opposed to only one side is right and only one side is wrong.
About what about?
Okay, we're going to put you on hold just a minute. We're going to be right back after these messages here at Religion on the Line.
Hey, you in there. Yeah, you. It's me, your roof. Do you know how long it's been since you've paid attention to me? I'm not talking about the occasional glance as you drive away. I mean really thought about me. I need a little attention up here. And don't cut corners either. Get a professional, okay?
Hi, Jerry Corson here with the original Premier Siding, Roofing, and Home Improvement of KC. We love to install the original presidential shingle by CertainTeed, made in the Midwest. If your roof is more than 15 years old, consider having it inspected. A lot of companies offer free estimates. At Premier, we offer free inspections to help you understand the condition of your roof so you can decide whether you need a full replacement or just a few repairs. We're the only locally owned and operated Premier Roofing in Kansas City and have been for 33 years. Licensed and insured, we have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and will provide a long list of happy customers who'd refer us in a heartbeat.
To schedule your free roof inspection, call the original Premier Siding, Roofing, and Home Improvement of KC at PremierRoofing.net or call 816-436-2050.
CBS News Update, I'm Heather Bosch. Hillary Rodham Clinton expected to officially announce today she's running for president. CBS News Elections Director Anthony Salvanto does not expect the Democratic field to be too crowded.
The challenge for her campaign may be that lack of a challenge, and that she'll have to go through the primaries if things stay the way they are, recruiting new voters, trying to drive up energy and engagement without that nomination contest to motivate voters.
Clinton's expected to make the announcement on social media. Saturday Night Live had a spoof on what that might be like.
I am running because I want to be a voice for women everywhere.
Did someone say women everywhere? Hillary would make a great president.
Thank you.
And I would make an even greater first dude.
Thank you, Bill.
Bill Clinton, of course, is a former senator and secretary of state. CBS News Update. I'm Heather Bosch.
The KCMO forecast from KCTV 5.
Temperatures overnight will fall to the lower 50s as skies become mostly cloudy with a southerly wind between 5 and 15 miles per hour. Our rain chances increase well after midnight and into your Sunday morning. Showers and thunderstorms will be possible. By Sunday afternoon, we could see an additional round of showers and thunderstorms. Temperatures will climb into the low to mid 70s by your Sunday afternoon. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Haley Shulman.
The Greg Knapp Experience.
But, hey, I mean, after all, I mean, government's always right.
Salt was horrible for us, remember? Now we're told again, salt's not really that big a deal. Butter, that's horrible for you. It's better to go with the margarine. Alcohol, that's horrible for you. Oh, wait to hear what they're saying now about cholesterol. Climate change, which Obama now says is more dangerous than terrorism.
But, hey, I mean, after all, I mean, government's always right.
The Greg Knapp Experience. Weekday afternoons 4 till 6 on KCMO Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM.
Well, it's our eighth year of working with Danny and everyone over at Country Hill Motors, and it's been a great relationship.
Yes, Dave, you've been so great to our community, spreading the word. And our team's been working so hard to save your listeners thousands of dollars and offer the best used cars in Kansas City.
And I can tell you Danny isn't done, because it's a new year, a new adventure there at Country Hill Motors.
You're right. We're just getting started. And now it's our spring sale with great incentives like thousands of dollars off over 500 vehicles and instant equity with rates from just 1.5%. For 8 years, Country Hill Motors has been serving Dave Ramsey's listeners with the lowest prices and best incentives anywhere.
I've said it before, I'll say it now. Finally, I found a dealer I can trust, and they prove it every day. Country Hill Motors in Merriam, Olathe, and online at countryhill.com.
Great deal at countryhill.com.
I'm Bruce Brown, certified mortgage planning specialist with Prime Lending. Join me Sundays at noon for Dollars and Homes. Buying, selling, and financing real estate is serious business and requires professional advice. The Dollars and Homes Show provides that advice as we tackle important issues that could save you thousands on your next real estate or mortgage transaction. Join me right here for Dollars and Homes. Sundays at noon, visit us on the web at dollarsandhomes.com or call me, Bruce Brown, 816-286-HOME. That's 816-286-HOME.
It's the third annual Derek Johnson Foundation Celebrity Waiter Night, presented by Glazers of Kansas. Brought to you by Absolut Vodka. Come out Monday, May 18th to the Grand Street Cafe in Lenexa. Proceeds go towards the Derek Johnson Defend the Dream Foundation. Tickets and sponsorship at DerekJohnson56.org. It's the easiest way for you to get up close and personal with many of your Kansas City Chiefs. We're talking pictures and autographs. Presented by Glazers, it's the third annual Derek Johnson Foundation Celebrity Waiter Night, Monday, May 18th. Get your tickets now at DerekJohnson56.org.
Joe Biden, that beautiful hair job he has, the plugs growing out of his forehead.
Mark Levin, weeknight 6 till 9 on KCMO Talk Radio.
Now, whatever.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM. We're delighted that you've allowed us to be part of your Sunday morning. Give us a call at 576-7710, and we will be delighted to engage in conversation. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon John Perk with the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
And we were talking with Mike. Mike, we'll continue.
Well, I'll try to make this quick. Saying the Bible was used, there's a reason the Bible was used to try to justify slavery. It's because the Bible was had a very important position in society, so they had to deal with that. No, there's no evidence that the slave trade was inspired by the Bible, or that anybody who didn't believe in slavery was convinced by the Bible that there should be slaves. There is the opposite. The abolition movement was in reaction to was religious. Plus, there were people, John Newton of Amazing Grace, that were believed in slavery that changed their minds. So it's not that the Bible encouraged or was a real justification. They just had to deal with it.
I think we should. You know, this is the this past week was the 150th anniversary of Lee's surrender at Appomattox. And in relationship to it, I participated in a remarkable conversation with a number of prominent, my being excluded, members of the Chicago community. And the 701 words of the second inaugural are worth our reflecting on, especially for the biblical references that mm-hmm. would have a different slant on what our discussion today, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think it's worth looking at, Mike.
Well, the ones that try to use the Bible should recognize in Exodus that the death penalty was given for people who stole humans and anybody that took a human as a yeah. slave, stolen property.
A lot of death penalty stuff in the Hebrew Bible, absolutely.
There's a lot of death penalty stuff in the Hebrew Bible, Michael was saying.
My point was not the...
It was just an offhanded comment. It wasn't leading to anything else.
How the Bible regarded the slave trade. Plus, in Timothy, Paul...
It regarded it as normative.
What's this nitpicking about slave trade versus justifying slavery? There's no controversy here. The Bible was used as a defense for slavery's appropriateness, that blacks were less human than whites. There's no controversy around that. Why do you need to invent one?
I can tell you, it's because slaves in the South were from a slave trade. They just weren't born here. They were stolen from Africa.
Because slavery was understood to be justifiable. And the Bible was used to prop it up.
I already answered that. That's because they had to ignore that there was a death penalty for that kind of slave trade in the Old Testament.
But they
and
picked
in the New Testament in Timothy. It said that it put the people that dealt in...
Okay, the Bible the Bible is what you say it is, Mike.
All right.
It's there. It's there.
All right, Mike. Thank you for your call. And we're going to move on. 576-7710 is the number to call. 576-7710 to call. By the way, with Gardner Taylor and Fred Craddock and also other people like Marcus Borg, Theodore Hesburgh, we've had a number of high profile, Robert Schuller, by the way, and his passing. We've had a number of prominent religious figures die this year. One more that will be more popular or recognizable by Protestants than probably any other religious group was a man named Lyle Schaller. Have you ever heard that phrase, Michael, John?
That
His
name rings
no.
a bell, but I don't have anything to associate with it.
He was probably, at one point, the number one interpreter of reasons for churches growing or declining in uh-huh. the North American context. He had done more research than anybody else. He had done more kind of a lying of indices that would indicate those churches that grow do this, and those churches that don't grow do that. And he would be a consultant all across the face of Protestantism, at the very least, in North America. And he passed in the last month.
Mm-hmm.
So, to my knowledge, this has been the either that or I'm paying more attention.
I, by the way, Bob, I think that's also part of the story in that you know, we have become the generation that used to be the generation that didn't know this stuff.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. I think you're right. Just wanted to honor Lyle Schaller and his passing. 576-7710. 576-7710.
By the way, our caller who had the inquiry about getting a yarmulke, I did. My memory was correct for a change. The number for the funeral home is 816-361-5211.
I have another topic I want to suggest. We've got an ordination coming up next Sunday at Community Christian Church. It'll be during our 10:45 service, although we'll honor this person in the 8:30 and also the 9:20 service, and then have her ordination at 10:45. It is a congregationally based ordination. It's very different than, I think, Michael, you experienced.
Mm-hmm.
Your ordination kind of took place at a graduation. Was that correct?
Yes and yes.
Okay. It was part of your academic training, and it was done at your school.
Through and in the seminary,
okay,
as opposed to in a congregation. Right?
And in Catholicism, they're done by groups, are they not, John? Normally? Or no? No? He's raising his hands. You can't hear it, but he's raising his hands.
He caught me daydreaming.
Well, but ordinations in Catholicism happen sometimes in a group context. For example, you're being set aside as a deacon, but then an individual priest, I guess in an ordered, you know.
Well, like it's a public ceremony.
It's a public ceremony. But I mean, is it done with groups of priests being ordained all at once, or
is it one
at a time?
No, it's done one at a time with the laying on of hands. But there could be 10 who, I think last May there was 10 ordained in the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, and I think there's 10 more being ordained this year. Each one who's ordained has the hands laid on them individually by the bishop.
Okay.
It's not a group thing.
But it's all in one ceremony.
Yes, it's all in one ceremony.
Yeah. Ours are done in the Disciples of Christ. Ours are done person by person and usually in what we call their home congregation, at least where they were nurtured into that calling.
Yeah, and that can also happen, too. An ordination can take place in a parish church. But most of the time it takes place in the cathedral.
Okay. Michael, what were you saying?
That the bishop does the ordination. In your community, would it not be the congregation?
It's the congregation, but in partnership with the regional minister and the general manifestation of the church, because they will have standing wherever they go. Their ordination is once and for all, and as long as they maintain standing wherever they are serving, they'll be ordained. That's a existential, ontological transformation, I suppose. Mm-hmm. It's a designation that has lifelong implications. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do we have any callers?
Not right now.
Well, there's a story out just about ordinations now that in the United States, priestly ordinations are up 25%.
Mm.
The characteristics of the priests being ordained today are the median age is 31. An average of 4 people encourage them. Most said their parish priest encouraged them. Most are Catholics since infancy. 7% are converts. 37%, this is interesting, had a relative who was a priest or consecrated religious. A little more than half attended Catholic elementary schools and high schools. Somewhat more likely to attend Catholic college. 80% were altar servers. 50% were lectors. 70% prayed the rosary, which is one of my...
What was, 70 or 7?
70. Uh-huh. 70% prayed the rosary. And for those who don't know, the rosary is a Catholic prayer that meditates on the Bible, the scripture verses in the Bible. It kind of summarizes the Bible into a meditation. And let's see. I can't read my own writing. The average debt is, and 70% had this devotion to Eucharistic adoration. And the debt when they graduated from college was an average of $22,500. Of course, when they go to the seminary, the church pays for that. So that's just kind of a summary of the new.
What do you make of the median age 31? That sounds like some folks who have had other experiences are turning to the priesthood at a later point.
Yes, they around age 27. And that's kind of when the seeds of my conversion, even though I was raised Catholic my whole life, I never had a living encounter with God. But that's when I started asking those questions, because it seems like we get on the escalator of life and all these decisions are kind of made for you and you just do what everybody else does. You don't really consciously and intentionally choose some things. You might choose them, but then when you choose them, you're in the program and you're just told what to do. And then finally, when you're independent and on your own, you come to these conscious, intentional choices. And we have to make one right now, because Bob's reminding us we have to take a break.
We have to take a break. We're going to be right back after these messages.
Kansas City's talk station is KCMO.
How do you buy it anonymously?
Carson in the Morning, weekday mornings 5 till 9.
You don't need to prove who you are. You don't have to show a driver's license, anything like that.
I just go in there and buy it.
Unlike you, not all of us walk around wearing a "Hi, I'm Rob Carson" t-shirt.
Listen to my show.
Yeah.
Listen to my show.
The Greg Knapp Experience.
Words matter.
4 till 6 p.m.
Schedule a time, schedule a place. We all know what we're saying.
New lineup, awesome content. KCMO Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM.
Attention antique shoppers, if you're looking for the ultimate antique adventure, you will find it at the Brass Armadillo Antique Mall, just off I-70, between exits 21 and 24 in Grain Valley. We are the perfect place to stroll aisle after aisle of fine antiques and collectibles. Whether it's our fine antiques, vintage, or retro items, we have them all. Antiques are what we know at the Brass Armadillo. With hundreds of antique dealers and millions of items, it is a shopper's paradise. So come on out to the Brass Armadillo Antique Mall, just off I-70 between exits 21 and 24 in Grain Valley. We're open 9 to 9 every day. Come see what everybody's talking about.
That's the word.
We got everybody talking.
Antiques are all we need.
We got everybody talking. Everybody's talking about the Brass Armadillo.
Brass Armadillo.
Everybody's talking.
Markets don't always go up. Unfortunately, people have portfolios that can only go up in value if the stock market goes up. My name is Chris Butler, investment manager and host of the radio show Capitalist Pigs, heard Saturdays on KCMO. Most people that have been working for a number of years know that the economy cycles through periods of boom and bust. So why wouldn't the markets, of which that economy is comprised, also exhibit periods of up moves and down moves? Of course they would, and they have, for as long as we have history. Investors actually have tools at their disposal that can either help protect their portfolios in a falling market or maybe even make money in that environment. But too few investors know what these tools are or how to use them. Incorporating those tools is just one element of what we call the all-weather approach to growth investing. You can learn more about that approach by downloading our free report at investontrack.com. Again, download the report at investontrack.com.
Does God really exist? Atheism says the answer is no. Yet millions around the world deeply believe that God is real and all-powerful. And many people say they can point to evidence of His love in their lives. Evidence they feel is far more than wishful thinking or random good fortune. They'll talk about the existence and nature of God on the next radio edition of the Christian Science Sentinel, Sunday morning at 8:30. On KCMO Talk Radio 710.
Do you own a Ford Power Stroke, GM Duramax, or Cummins diesel engine? Then you know these quality engines can test the budget when it comes to service and repairs. Hello again, Kevin Jordan, Interstate 49 Truck Center. And we've saved lots of folks lots of money fixing these engines. So don't sign that repair ticket till you give us a call. Interstate 49 Truck Center is located in sunny Grandview, just south of Gale's Harley-Davidson on the new Interstate 49 or the old 71 Highway. Call 816-322-2333, and we'll see you on the garage floor.
One of the things I love about our friends over at Window World is their exceptional value. Dave Ramsey here. Folks, if you're in the market for windows or doors, you need to call Window World of Kansas City. In just over 10 years in business, Window World has improved the look and efficiency of over 28,000 homes in Kansas City. Window World is the home of the original $189 window. And these $189 windows are amazing. They come with double-strength glass, a lifetime warranty, and the Good Housekeeping seal of approval. Plus, Window World is committed to serving my listeners well. So give Window World a call today for a free in-home estimate. 816-799-0820. That's 816-799-0820 or windowworld.com. Window World, simply the best for less. Be sure and tell them Dave Ramsey sent you.
Hi, it's Chris Plant. Join me weekdays from 9 to noon here on KCMO, Talk Radio 710 and 103.7 FM.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio 710 on your AM radio dial, 103.7 on your FM radio dial. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon John Perk with the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda. I want to make a recommendation, guys. I just started reading it during the break. David Brooks, who's fascinating and important op-ed writer in the New York Times and syndicated. Does the Kansas City Star tend to cover it?
Oh, yeah. Carry his column from the New York Times?
So the headline is A Moral Bucket List. What kind of adventures produce goodness rather than build resumes? I'm just going to read the first two paragraphs. About once a month I run across a person who radiates an inner light. These people can be in any walk of life. They seem deeply good. They listen well. They make you feel funny and valued. You often catch them looking after other people, and as they do so, their laugh is musical and their manner is infused with gratitude. They are not thinking about what wonderful work they are doing. They are not thinking about themselves at all. When I meet such a person, it brightens my whole day. But I confess, I often have a sadder thought. It occurs to me that I've achieved a decent level of career success, but I have not achieved that. I have not achieved that generosity of spirit or that depth of character.
Mm. Mm.
That's a good sermon.
Yeah. He is amazing. You know, I don't agree with David Brooks.
A lot of his stuff.
Yeah,
right?
And he's, conservative, but he has less axes to grind than most writers, liberal or conservative. I mean, it's amazing.
I think the guy does have an integrity that even when you disagree with him, you know he's being
thoughtful, yeah.
Engaged.
Yeah. Michael and John, I have a movie recommendation. Priscilla and I saw this on Friday night, The Woman in Gold. It is about Maria Altman, a survivor of the Holocaust in World War II. Her family did not, but she did. And this, I don't know the first name of the artist, Klimt. It's a very,
Gustav.
Very... Gustav Klimt, and it's a very, very famous painting. It's iconic now, and it was held for the longest time by the Austrian government. And this is the story of the reclamation of that piece of art that had been commissioned. The person in the painting, the portraiture, is of her aunt. Mm-hmm. The Nazis stole it, and I think four other Klimt paintings, and a treasure trove of other things too. They were art collectors in Austria. It is very well done and much better than some reviewers have given it credit for. Helen Mirren is the star, who plays Maria Altman, and it's a very good film.
My guess is that even if it's not a very good film, Helen Mirren always gives performances that are worth observing.
You know, and it one criticism of the movie was that it was kind of beneath her. The script was beneath her. Mm-hmm. I did not find that to be true at all.
Out of curiosity, since I've read the book that upon which I assume the movie is based, does it go back and forth in time?
Yes,
to
yes.
Her, yeah.
It goes back and forth from her to her childhood. Mm-hmm. Tatiana Mislani, I think is her name, plays her as a younger woman, and it's a remarkable parallel in terms of appearance. The escape of her escape as a young woman from Austria is harrowing, but really, really, really well done. So, and Ryan Reynolds.
It's obviously in general release now, right?
It's in general release. It opened wide, I think, nationwide Friday night this weekend. Ryan Reynolds plays Schoenberg, the attorney that was dogged in his pursuit of justice for Maria Altman. And it's a great story. I'm so glad it's been told and the movie's been done. So. Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that, and I will try to put it on our non-moral but movie bucket list.
Okay, we got two emails. We have one from Rob, who wants an iman on the show to explain the difference between the Shiites and Sunnis.
And we can accommodate that. We will do that very soon.
And we have a different Mike, Bible on slave trade. He quotes from Exodus. He says, "He who kidnaps a man, whether he sells him or he is found in his possession, shall surely be put to death." And then in the New Testament, 1 Timothy.
Hold on.
Exodus 21, 16.
A black was not considered a man. So it wasn't a punishable offense at all.
Back in Exodus?
I'm not talking about Exodus. I'm talking about how the South used the Bible and others used the Bible as justification for slavery. The slave trade was not slave trade. It was property trade.
It wasn't a trading of a human being. Mm-hmm. I mean, our Constitution even says it.
Well, I'm just reading the email, okay?
Yeah, of course.
Then similarly, in the New Testament, slave traders are listed among those who are ungodly and sinful in 1 Timothy 1, verse 8 to 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the whole notion of the evolution of the Bible's view on slavery, as opposed to the way in which it's been used to justify a variety of approaches to life and other people's lives, is worth much more than a brief reflection. But the fact is that the text is correct, except for one small problem: blacks were not people. That's the problem.
According to the interpreters of that text, and that's where we always come back to. All texts are to be interpreted. They were created by human beings, and they're interpreted by human beings, not without divine inspiration. I'm not denying that. I absolutely believe in that. But portions of the Bible, I believe, were absolutely not given by divine inspiration, but by human ingenuity. Or by plan, by whatever. Not everything in the Bible is absolutely sacrosanct and holy. Anyway.
Oh, well, why don't you get us in some more trouble?
Yeah, right, Bob. Thanks, Bob.
All right, we're going to be back next week.
We're going to have disagreement on that part.
Give us a call. 576-7710 is the number to call next week. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill of Community Christian Church this week, along with
Deacon John Perk of the Diocese of Kansas City, Missouri, St. Joseph, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, the Temple B'nai Yehuda, and no matter where it's stated, we're grateful to state.
God bless.